Hi, I'm Taylor Smurl, and I'm an experienced bartender.
And I'm Tommy Smurl. I'm an experienced drinker.
He's my dad, and together this is...
Neat! A weekly booze cast.
With history lessons, trivia, and a twist.
So pull up a stool to the bar and join us for the lowdown on your highball.
Hello and welcome back to the show. Hey Dad, how you doing?
Hello Taylor, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Well, all right. Glad you're doing all right. That's all right.
Hey. This is my first week in a while that I have not one, but two off days.
Wow. Man, you're living large now.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It feels very decadent.
Yeah, I got used to that once I didn't work for the railroad anymore, getting two off days. That was like a whole new experience when that happened.
Well, you know, obviously over the pandemic, I got used to having nothing but off days, and then I went back to work a lot, and I was like, well, maybe this is fine, and then I thought, nope, this is not fine, so I gave up some shifts, but that's okay.
Well, that's all right. That's all right. I didn't get a break during the pandemic. We just kept just going right along.
Well, I'm sorry about that.
Well, that's all right. It paid the bills.
Hey, did you have any good beverages this week?
Well, no, but I think I discovered something about myself.
Oh, okay. Personal discoveries or drinks, those both can be brought to the table.
Well, they are. They're combined in the same reason. That's what the personal discovery is about, the drinks. Is I believe that through the course of this podcast and working with you and discovering how to properly mix drinks and all that, I've become somewhat of a cocktail snob.
Oh, no.
We went to the party the other night, and there was an open bar. But the problem was, I mean, yeah, they had their bottles of bourbon, vodka, gin, tequila, you know, sitting around there. But the only thing to mix was either Coke, Sprite, or they had the plastic bottles of the pre-made mix there to pour something in. There was not any citrus. There was not a shaker cup anywhere. I mean, it was just pour and stir, I guess. And I looking at that, I thought, I don't want to drink any of that. I don't want to just do shots. I want to drink a nice cocktail. And I didn't see any of it. And it wasn't worth the effort to drink it. So I just said, give me a damn Coke. I just drank Cokes. I didn't even drink anything. I've become a cocktail snob. No. Well, I mean, they didn't even have draft beer. They was just bottled beer, and there's nothing special about that. So, I don't know. I all night long kept thinking, it's an open bar. You have to drink. And it wasn't worth it. I just didn't. There was nothing there that appealed to me. I was just going to be drinking for the sake of drinking because it was free. So I didn't do it.
Well, actually, Dad, that sounds like a pretty healthy perspective. I think that that's hopefully where I feel like there's a movement that drinking becomes more like that, where there's not any societal difference between, oh, you want to have a Jack and Coke or you want to just have a Coke? That's fine. It's not like a stigma thing. It's also like alcohol is just another beverage you can consume. So that's good. That's like a healthy way of looking at it. Like, you're drinking for fun and enjoyment and flavor, and if those things aren't there, then you don't need to drink.
Yeah, that was what it came down to, and I've struggled with it all night long. I kept thinking, man, I'm wasting this open bar, but at the same time, I didn't want to have a drink, and I didn't want to have a drink just for the sake of, it's free!
I kind of along the same thought, I don't go out to drink after my shifts very often. I just work so much that it's just, you know, it sometimes you want that. You really want to just go out and like get somebody needs to serve you because you served other people all day. I try not to buy into that. Usually like on my way home, I'll get like one fancy beer at the bodega and drink it on the couch, like in my pajamas. That's my after shift ritual. But I did the other night, is it last night? Night before last. I stopped. There's a very nice wine bar that has a very small but like very nice cocktail menu. And I've just been working so much lately. Like literally worked 21 days in a row. Like I just needed to have somebody take care of me.
I knew you worked a lot.
Yeah. And they had a Corpse Survivor number 2 on the menu, which is like I love that, you know, like it's just it was a menu of classics and they had a Corpse Survivor number 2, and it's been a long time since someone has made me a drink. I've made lots of people drinks, and you know, like I've stopped and had like a beer and a shot on the way home a few times over the course of the few weeks, but like not, it was a slow bar. There weren't a lot of other customers, so I felt okay asking for a kind of fussy cocktail, and he made it for me, the bartender that was working, and he made it beautifully. He did like a beautiful channel twist on it. Like I saw him stop and he was about to do a twist with a knife, and then he grabbed the channel knife and did it with that. That's just like when you get the little thin peel, you know? And it was just so perfectly made. And I had that one cocktail and I was like, oh, it just reminded me of like how restorative a good drink can be. And I just had the one, and I was like, I felt like renewed. My corpse was revived.
Mom likes those.
Oh, it was a good one. Like, I don't, you know, I'm not sure the specifics of like products he used, but it was just a perfect corpse reviver. Perfect pour right to the rim on a perfect size coupe, perfect garnish, beautiful like darkly lit candlelit bar. Just sometimes you've had, and that's like I didn't want to ruin it with another drink. I thought about having another cocktail. I was like, nah, that just would ruin this. Like, you know, just gonna close out, tip him well, and go home.
Well, that's good. You deserve to have that moment of luxury after as hard as you've been working lately.
Just needed a little corpse reviving.
Yeah,
the power of the spirit.
That's right. A nicely made cocktail, well made and balanced and good tasting. It just, you know, that's the ambiance that I like now with it, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it was also like it was kind of a cold, rainy night out, and it was the bar is about halfway between one of my workplaces and my house. So it was just like, I'm just going to stop. I can't make it the whole way. I got to stop halfway. All right. Now I can go. Now I can get home and go to bed.
Now I'm revived.
It was. It was perfect. So thank you to that bartender. That bar I won't name because it's close to my house, and that feels too revealing. But great job.
And a bar and bartender that shall remain nameless.
Yes, anonymous bar and anonymous bartender. But I want to talk. This is just kind of a random topic for this episode. But you know, I'm back behind the bar and I'm interacting with spirits and cocktails every day. It's a lot easier to come up with topics, almost too easy. Like every day I feel like I pull a random bottle to like wipe off or dust or something. And I'm like, oh man, this would be a good episode. But specifically this week when I was doing my inventory, I noticed our single bottle of Sambuca, which has had like I've been inventorying it as a 0.2 for like 3 weeks now, because that's how much was left in it. And it was gone. So somebody sold the 0.2 Sambuca. But I thought about it because I've got to reorder this. How often does it sell? And I was like, I don't really know anything about Sambuca other than that it's Italian and it's anise flavored. And that's kind of it. So I thought we could learn together.
Well, that's good. I didn't even know it was Italian. I have heard of Sambuca. I don't think I've ever had it or asked for it or seen it, but I've heard of it. And for some reason, I thought it was like of Spanish origin. And I said something to Mom about it. We're going to do it on Sambuca. And I said, I didn't even know where that was from. She said, oh, it's from Japan. I said, no, we're both wrong. I picked Spain, you picked Japan, and it's actually Italian.
Yeah. Oh, that's all right. And I will say that the name Sambuca, there is a confusing, as with so many spirits we talk about, there's a bit of confusion around the origin. This one is largely just around the name, less about the recipe. The recipe is pretty consistent. But so let's start with that word, Sambuca. There were maybe three proposed ideas behind where it comes from. The first is that Sambuca could be a derivative from the Latin word sambuco, which is the word for, you might think it's anise. It's not. It's elderberry. So there is this sort of fanciful story attached to this theory, and that's that there was an Italian peasant who had made an anise liqueur for his daughter's wedding, but somehow some elderberries and elderberry blossoms got into the mixture, and he didn't have time to remake it before the festivities, so he served that, and everybody just loved it, thought it was delicious, and Simbuca was born. So it was named referencing those elderberries that accidentally ended up in the anise flavor liqueur. And I will say, like, anise flavored spirits, I mean, they go back in the Middle East pretty much to the dawn of distillation. But even in, like, you know, what is now Italy, like in ancient Rome, they were drinking like anise infused wines and things back in the day. So this is not like a unique flavor to find in booze. So there's some of that story could line up, you know. There's another origin story that points to the word zamut as which is Arabic for anise, and that this is what eventually got translated, sort of, you know, word saladed into sambuca, and so that sort of that relates to which we talked about in our Iraq episode and our Ouzo episode, that, you know, the Middle East were really the first to distill a strong anise flavored spirit. And that spirit worked its way into other places, including Italy. And so when this Arabic and origin spirit arrived, and the word for anise in Arabic was zamut, they just sort of, in an Italian pronunciation, Italianified the word zamut, and it became sambuca. And that's what they would use to describe this anise-flavored spirit. So, possibly
makes true. Sense to me, you know.
Well,
and just their accent. They had that funny accent.
Zamut, sambuca, they sound kind of similar. And then there's a third explanation that actually comes from the first commercial producer of sambuca, who was a man by the name of Luigi Manzi, who in 1851 released his floral anise liquor called sambuca onto the market. And his story was that it was called sambuca to honor the sambucelli, or the merchants that would service the peasants working in the fields. They would bring them water, but it was specifically water and anise that they would bring them. And so that's their name came from, sambucelli, which I guess would kind of go back to that origin story for the Arabic anise, zamut, sambuca, but that's where he got the word sambuca, and that's why he called his anise liqueur sambuca. Was in honor of these water merchants, these watermen that would bring water to the peasants, the sambucelli. Now, I would say that it's possible that all of these stories are kind of true, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That, like,
yeah,
sambuca got elderberries in them. That was an Italian design. That the Arabic spirits made their way to Italy that inspired it in the first place. And then that Luigi Manzi was inspired specifically by the sambucelli, who clearly must have gotten their name from the origin of sambuca. So,
now, did Luigi have a brother named Mario?
You know, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't think it is that Luigi.
Oh, you don't think it's that one?
No.
Did he wear green coveralls?
I don't think so. I did not come across that in my research, but I will double check.
Okay.
Yes. So in any case, there's a couple different origin stories. I think you could kind of line them all up. So, you know, maybe it all sort of anise flavored spirits existed in ancient Rome. Anise distilled spirits came to us from Arabic languages, from Arabic places. You know, so you have this elderflower. It could just be kind of a happy coincidence that you get a word that kind of sounds like the word for elderflower, and it all works, or elderberry, and it all works out into the recipe for sambuca, which, of course, sambuca is anise flavored, but it often has other things in there. One of those other things is often elderberry. It's thought that the elderberry kind of softens, the floral notes sort of soften the strong anise flavor, and they complement each other really well. But some part of that is true, I bet. Some of it.
Well, and we don't exactly know all the ingredients in each one, do we?
No. Most every major sambuca on the marketplace has one of those, like, closely guarded family secrets. So there's definitely anise, We know that because that's what they all taste like. And beyond that, it could be lots of things. But in any case, Luigi Manzi's Sambuca, it was very popular in Italy, not so much on the international market. That didn't happen until 1945. And that was when Angelo Molinari produced his own Sambuca. And that's the one that really caught on internationally. Specifically in like the 50s and the 60s, it was very much associated with that sort of the Viva Dolce, the like sort of fixation in America with like Italian culture. Frank Sinatra himself wrote a fan letter to Molinari thanking him for his excellent beverage. He was such a fan of his specific Sambuca.
Yeah. Well, he was like the head Italian here in America at that point.
I guess so. So that's who you want. That's who you want to like your Italian spirit.
That's right.
And eventually, so Manzi, that original producer, his heirs sold their firm to someone who eventually sold to Molinari in the 80s. So the Molinari company kind of became the sole giant in the Sambuca marketplace still today. Like they have a drier Sambuca Manzi that they sell and the sweeter Sambuca Extra Molinari. But they're both produced by the same company. Now, anybody can make Sambuca. This is not a regional thing like some of the spirits we've come across. But these are the brands that mainly make it.
And as we've come across in so many of them, the way they usually drank it there was pretty much straight or just with water. And it has the same effect like with Ouzo, where the water you pour it in and it gets foggy.
Yes, not always. Some of that's likened to, I mean, it also depends on what brand of Sambuca you're buying. Some of them have a less concentration of oils because it's the concentration of the oils that cause that. And some of them just don't have as much. So you might not get the Ouzo effect or the Louche effect. But yes, that is like iced or with a little water. That's common. You can also drink it. The association that I always think of it is with coffee. That is, either in coffee or alongside coffee is how you'll see it served. We talked about the Cafe Coretto in our Grappa episode, if you remember that. That same term can be used with coffee with Sambuca. So you can also...
Yeah, give me a shot of Sambuca and a shot of Sambuca and give me a coffee chaser.
Exactly. Well, and still kind of in the line with coffee, you can also serve it with flies.
Yeah. I saw that they do that with the one coffee bean floating in it, you call that a fly.
Three coffee beans.
When I heard if you put one in that you it's for you call it a fly, and if you put three in, it's for there's three good things that is supposed to come to you:
health, happiness, and prosperity. But they're called flies.
Oh, okay, they're called flies, regardless of how many. And then if you put seven in it, it's for the seven hills of Rome.
Yes, so the coffee beans that you float in your Sambuca. And then this is thought. I mean, this was something that Molinari invented. This was one of the ways that he helped kind of launch it into popularity. Oh. This was his design. And it's, you know, it's partly as a sort of an offset the flavor. It's also just a good gimmick. But the sort of the story behind it, and it's called a Sambuca con la mosca or Sambuca with the fly. the sort of story behind it is that either sometimes it was just a practical joke, like people would drop coffee beans into their friend's Sambuca to see if they wouldn't notice them. That's an odd practical joke. But the legend is that these flies were drawn to the sugar in the Sambuca and landed in an old lady's glass, and that the old lady, instead of just taking them out, instead just set it on fire, set the Sambuca on fire to, I guess, roast the flies in her drink. And that the three coffee beans are also a reference to that, because flaming Sambuca is something you'll also see on occasion. So
you
the thought is that, yeah, you could either go ahead.
I say you could put the coffee beans in it and do it, and it roasts the coffee beans in there, you know, when you're on your Sambuca.
Exactly. So that's like it either slightly roasts the coffee beans. It also will burn off some of the alcohol, you know, make it a little less boozy, or, you know, also it just looks cool.
Yeah.
And also, like you said, it could just be also served on the rocks or with a few drops of water. I think it's also worth noting that there are a couple different types of Sambuca. So the traditional Sambuca, how that is made, it's kind of similar to like an aquavit, kind of like we talked about with like ouzo or arak, in that it is like largely, it's a grain neutral or molasses derived base spirit in the case of Sambuca. And it's distilled with essential oils of the cider ingredients. So whereas some of these products will use like the ingredient itself, Sambuca will usually use an already made essential oil. And then, of course, there's, of course, anise there, and then whatever else, elderberry, spices, you name it. It's proof to no less than 38% ABV. And the big difference from a lot of these other things that are anise flavored is that Sambuca is significantly sweetened with white sugar. And beyond that, and that's usually just the white Sambuca. So that's the clear Sambuca you'll see. There's also black Sambuca, which is along, like, with some of those traditional flavors, it also has licorice and elderbush. And it's not really black. Sometimes it can even be like a violet or a dark blue color. And then there's also something called red Sambuca. And that usually just refers to really a variety of Sambucas that are flavored. They can be berry flavored. They can be apple, raspberry, even coffee flavored. So you'll see red Sambuca refer to more of the like sometimes naturally flavored, sometimes artificially, sometimes like the cheaper Sambucas.
And one of the things that they do also with Sambuca in the Italian culture is it's often drizzled over desserts.
Yeah.
Tiramisu or ice cream or gelato or something like that.
Kind of works like a syrup, absolutely. Cocktail-wise, it's not... There's not really like... I mean, there's like the slippery nipple. There's like a shot that uses Bailey's and Sambuca that's popular. There's not like a classic cocktail that uses Sambuca. The one that I saw like just sort of volleyed around a lot is subbing Sambuca in for your absinthe in your Sazerac, making sort of a Sambuca Sazerac, which sounds kind of fun. And it's another one of those that kind of has that same weird, almost too soon success that Jägermeister had, where like people were doing shots of Sambuca and drinking Sambuca through like the 80s and 90s. And in that way, it kind of got this association with here in America, definitely not the case in Italy. But here in America, this association was sort of like a different, like when we had the cocktail revival, it wasn't really included because it kind of, it had a market through the whole time. And so it's taken a little while to like get back into cocktails. I don't know if it's just people had collegiate experiences with it that colored their opinion of Sambuca.
It got sidetracked into the frat boy category.
A little bit, which you know, you can see works for and against spirits.
Yeah.
But again, that's just here in the States. It's you know, been a traditional and beloved spirit in Europe and obviously in Italy specifically throughout from its creation and forward.
Yeah, I think that's interesting how all those different places, they kind of develop their own version of, you know, ouzo and arak and Sambuca and all those different things, that they each kind of came up with their own version of it.
Yeah. Well, and like a lot of spirits, you know, going all the way back to the ancient Romans, it's the thought is that anise is a digestive aid. It's that it, you know, helps settle your stomach. It's often sipped after a meal. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about like some of these things have like a little bit like bitter spirits will activate the salivary gland. There's like a touch, a whiff of scientific backing to most of this, but not enough to, you know, don't drink Sambuca for your health.
Well, you know, yeah, if you want to, you can.
Well, I mean, not from a medical perspective, from a do whatever the hell you want perspective. Sure. Yeah. Drink. I don't care.
Sambuca for an eye opener. Start your day with Sambuca away.
Sambuca in your coffee to get your day started. Get some caffeine. Get your digestion going. I don't know.
That's right.
Not medical advice. This is bartender advice.
So this is partying advice.
That, yes. But it is, I think, you know, it's not a spirit. I don't feel like it's a spirit I've played enough with, honestly. Like, for as much as we've talked about so many, and I mean, it is not at all regarded as the same as, like, absinthe or pastis, but it does have some similarities as far as it is, like, a lot of anise, and then there's an herbal profile. This has more of a floral profile, I guess, traditionally, although because there's that, like, secret recipe element, you don't always know what you're getting. But the idea of a floral alternative to absinthe does open up a lot of doors,
mm-hmm.
as far as how to incorporate it into a cocktail. So, you know.
Yeah. I would like to try it. Like I say, I've heard of it, but I didn't really know what it was, and I've never had it. But I'd like to try it, especially in a coffee-type drink, because I like espresso martinis so much. Well, I'd like to try it straight up just to see what it tastes like, and then try it in some type of coffee situation. And then just play around with it some and see what it might work with or sub out for or something like that. Because it's like, you know, I like the Arak better than the Ouzo. And this is supposed to be a sweeter version of the same type drink. So, you know, I'm not averse to sweet drinks per se.
I feel like, you know, because I know you like your espresso martinis. You don't do any simple syrup. You just do a bigger portion of coffee liqueur. I feel like if you did like an appropriate amount of Sambuca in there instead of the simple syrup, you know, might add a nice little layer of flavor.
Yeah, just like when I added that creme de menthe to that espresso martini. That was a nice mini chocolate one. Well, I'll have to try that out. I think I can find a bottle of Sambuca around here.
Well, you know, I mean, West Virginia has that whole, like, Italian-American... Right? Isn't that a whole element to West Virginia's heritage?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of Italian and Scottish. They have that Italian festival up there at Clarksburg every year.
That's why you got the pepperoni roll, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Just have get yourself a bottle of Sambuca and a nice and a gas station pepperoni roll.
Yeah.
little combo there.
Sit in your car by the side of the road and have Sambuca and a pepperoni roll.
That actually sounds pretty good. I don't know. I don't even eat meat, but that sounds nice. That's the West Virginia Italian American combo. That's the amuse-bouche.
Yeah, that's right.
Love that. Well, all right. I hope if you had any questions about Sambuca, I hope we answered them for you. I hope you know a little bit more.
Japanese and it's not Spanish.
It is not. It is definitely Italian and has some ties to Arabic origins, ancient Roman origins. All sorts of stuff came together to make that Sambuca happen for you. So try it out.
Yeah, and if somebody tells you there's flies in your drink, don't get disgusted.
Yeah.
Those flies are traditional
flies.
There's
a fly in my Sambuca. You're welcome.
What's that fly doing in my Sambuca? I believe it's a backstroke.
It's providing you with health. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Dad, for being here.
Well, thank you, Taylor, for having me. I've learned the ins and outs of Sambuca that I did not know before.
As have I. I will be boring bar patrons with obscure Sambuca facts for at least the next week. Thank you all for being here. If you want to find us on the internet, you can do that. Neat Boozcast on Instagram and neattheboozcast@gmail.com. If you want to email us your questions, comments, what have you, we've got a Patreon. If you want to check us out over there, help support the show. Thank you to our current Patreons. You're the reason the show gets made. And hey, if you want to talk about your favorite way to drink Sambuca, you can do that
at Neat the Boozcast group page on Facebook.
Yeah, do that. Well, hey, I've been Taylor Smurl.
I've been Tommy Smurl.
And this has been
Neat. Try some coffee variations with it. I like coffee drinks.
I think there's something there.
Yeah.
I'm sure somebody's done that, but that doesn't mean you can't. You shouldn't do that.
That's right. I can play around with it. I've been learning from the master. Thank you, master.
That's not me. That's somebody else.